Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for August 15th, 2023. With that, I would like to call the meeting to order and move on to item two, the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Director Peterson if they would kindly stand and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance for this evening.
Stand over your heart and follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Peterson. We have some announcements to make for tonight. Director Marks will be participating remotely per Government Code Section 54953, parentheses F, in accordance with AB 2449 under the emergency circumstances exception if approved by the board at tonight's meeting. Per AB 2449, each attendee who participates remotely shall publicly disclose at the meeting before any action is taken whether any other individuals 18 years of age or older are present in the room at the remote location where the member and the general nature of the member's relationship with any such individuals. Director Marks, is there anyone in the room with you? And if so, please state the relationship to you.
There was no one else in the room with me.
Thank you. We'll continue with our announcements for tonight. This meeting is being conducted in person. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. Because a board member is participating remotely pursuant to AB 2449, in the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, no action will be taken until the disruption is resolved. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present tonight, so I would like to remind those members that there are public comment cards in the lobby. Please fill one out if you intend to make a public comment to help facilitate that process. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. The staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call the roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting with the exception of Vice President Ozahusky. The meeting will continue as listed in your agenda. We can move on to item three, public comments. I do have one public comment card from Ms. Noltemeyer. So if Ms. Noltemeyer, we would like to come to the podium and make your public comment.
Yes, I've been following a lot of meetings for many, many years, and I'll have to give you credit for having some of the worst I've ever been to. And I don't know how much longer we can just allow this kind of behavior going on. And I would like to think of a way to do it because it's gotten out of hand, what's happening. And it's not been for the good of the people that really matter here at all. We see these changes, like the huge changes we see being added right now as you walk in the door, and through the changes being made to different issues. I mean, I'm tired of putting so much time trying to see what you're doing and then come in and find something like this added. That's unacceptable. In fact, a lot of your behavior is unacceptable. I don't know what you're trying to prove or who you're trying to prove it to, but I notice that no one from the public comes anymore. No one even bothers to show up. And that's a big disappointment, because that just means that the special interests are going to get whatever they want. And that's what all of this says. We'll change it. We'll bring it right up at the meeting, and it'll go through. Easy way to do it. I've been in this watching people like this and in different agencies, and you are reaching the point of being one of the worst I've seen. Some say nothing, absolutely nothing. But you just need the vote, I guess, is what you need. And it'll be interesting, because this, what I had in my hand, is what was handed once I was here. So naturally, I haven't read it all. And I'm a pretty swift reader. It's, like I said, I'm to the point of being thinking something has to be done about what's going on. I don't think the majority of the people even realize it and would laugh if I told them exactly what I'm seeing every time I come here. And doesn't seem to bother any of you. As long as, you know, I can get my huge say in.
Thank you, Ms. Maltemeyer, for your public comment.
Yes, no thanks to you.
All right, before I go on with further public comment, let me read the item so that anyone waiting online can understand what this item 3 includes. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items considered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6 p.m. With that, Madam Secretary, are there any other public comments online?
There is not.
That completes item 3 public comment. We can move to item 4. Consider and approve a request by Director March to attend the August 15, 2023 regular board meeting remotely due to emergency circumstances, and approve a second approved amended agenda. The second amended agenda is at each of your spots. Changes are shown in both red and blue. See the important notice attached to the second amended agenda. And with that, I'd like to pass it to our General Counsel, Mr. Byrne, to present this item 4.
Thank you, President Martin. I think you explained it pretty well when you opened up there. Directors are allowed pursuant to AB 2449 to participate remotely in certain circumstances. And one is emergency circumstances, of which Director Marks submitted a request. It does require board approval, and he has not reached the limits of what he's allowed to do pursuant to AB 2449. So if the board chooses to approve it, then he'll be allowed to continue to participate.
Do we have any public comment on item 4, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
Very good. I would entertain a motion for approval of item 4, Director Cooper. So moved by Director Cooper. Do we have a second? Second by Director Bronstein. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll, Madam Secretary.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Thank you, Board. We move on now to approval of the agenda. Note that item 8, fleet and warehouse update presentation that was going to be given tonight, that tonight's meeting will be postponed to a future meeting. With that, are there any further changes or modifications or additions to the agenda from the board? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on the agenda?
We do not.
The agenda is hereby approved. Move on to item 5, special procedures. We do have, let's see if I can track it down. Item 5.1 is a public hearing. Special procedure 5.1 is to conduct a public hearing on the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Battery Storage Project as required by California Government Code 4217. I would like to open the public hearing on the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Battery Storage Project. Tonight's public hearing will be organized as follows. First, staff will make a presentation addressing the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Battery Storage Project. Because this is a public hearing, there will be no board member questions and or comments until after the public comments have concluded. Second, members of the public will be invited to make verbal comments. Third, after public comments have concluded, board members will have the opportunity to discuss the presentation and the public comments. SCV Water's Sustainability Manager, Matt Dickens, will be making tonight's staff presentation on the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Battery Storage Project. Mr. Dickens, you have the floor.
Thank you, President Martin. I'm really energized for tonight's presentation. I know. I get dad joke comments all the time from my team, but you know what? They still chuckle. So I'm Matt Dickens, Sustainability Manager. Thank you, President Martin, and members of the SCV Water Board of Directors. I'll be providing a presentation on the SCV Water Self-Generation Incentive Program Battery Project. We'll go through a little bit of history and overview until we get into the details of this project, which we're going to proposing. Next slide, please. So tonight's recommendations are, of course, to recommend, or the presentation's objectives are to recommend that the Water Board consider adopting a resolution making the required findings and authorizing and approving the general manager to execute the energy service agreement with Pacifico Power, LLC, as well as the services order with STEM US Operations, Inc. for battery construction and operations and maintenance support at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant, which we're here tonight. I'll provide an overview of the SGIP project. We'll call it SGIP, that self-generation incentive program. We'll call it SGIP from now on. We'll review the energy services order, which is synonymous with operations and maintenance, review financial impact, and then next steps. Next slide, please. So first, turning to the SGIP program, the SGIP program was adopted in by the California Public Utilities Commission and essentially provided about $813 million for self-generation and battery storage projects through the various utilities across California, including in our service area, Southern California Edison and the gas company of Southern California. Those incentives had various different levels. There was a base level incentive, a resiliency adder if the project demonstrated resiliency options, meaning they can operate in outages and improve operations during outages and whatnot, and recover from outages, and then also an equity adder for disadvantaged communities. In terms of energy storage and resilience and battery storage objectives, SCV Water conducted analysis, looked for cost-effective projects, those that reduced demand, achieved resiliency, And then also those that I maximize the incentive funding from the SGIP program. So from the analysis, we were able to conduct a cost-benefit analysis of nearly all of our facilities that we supply energy to, using electric meter data, demand profiles throughout the day, photovoltaic potential, meaning developable square footage of land that we could develop and add solar, and then optimal battery sizing, also land footprint into where we can build these batteries in various different facilities. Next slide, please. So looking at this Venn diagram, again, we kind of looking for that sweet spot where we have a joining there of cost-effective site availability, resiliency, and resource intensity. We worked with our operations group, our engineering team, our consultant, Terra Verde, who are here tonight. I should have said this in my introduction. I'm joined tonight with David Burdick from Terra Verde Energy and Daniel Pistoian, who's on the call. With Terra Verde, we were able to basically identify various different groups of projects that were meeting these criteria to find those that kind of achieved, again, the maximum optimization of those various different criteria. We landed on two different sites here at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant and then also at the Earl Schmidt Filtration Plant. Next slide, please. So in June 2022, following a year and a half of analysis, we did the board of directors approved SGIP application for those two projects. In September and October of 2022, we went to request for proposals via the 4217 process for battery development and battery storage, photovoltaic development and battery storage at the Earl Schmidt Filtration Plant and battery storage here at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant to accompany and leverage our already existing photovoltaic assets. However, and unfortunately, we did not receive any responses to those proposals, even though we did have interested parties come and conduct a site visit. The response that we received is that the technical challenges and cost challenges at the Earl Schmidt Filtration Plant deemed the project to be not viable. So with that, we huddled and we persevered and we turned our attention to can we develop battery storage only here at Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant to, again, leverage our already existing 4.5 megawatt solar facility. In April 2023, we went to RFP for the version 2 here for the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant only project. We did receive four proposals. And we identified Pacifico Power and STEM as the energy service provider and the energy services support provider for the project. In May 2023, SCV Water issued a preferred provider letter of intent to Pacifico Power and STEM and began negotiating the contract details, which I have supplied to the board. Following the conclusion of a very active and long negotiation period, but one that we believe answers and meets the agency's best interests and optimizes that value to that of that project to the agency. So in July 2023, we requested a refund of our SGIP deposit. We had to put down 5% of the value of the SGIP on both projects. So we had to ask for a refund. We were able to get that refund, which I think is either on its way or in the mail or being processed here. Anyway, I gave them the address. So they said it's in the mail. and then in August 2023, we're finalizing the projects and service contracts. And here we are today as part of the 4217 process and the SGIP application holding our public hearing for the project. Next slide. So again, we landed on the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant battery project to leverage our 4.5 megawatt photovoltaic facilities. And basically, we've gone kind of back and forth on where we wanted to construct the battery project. And what we found is near the powerhouse. Well, initially, the battery was going to be kind of, it's hard, I don't have a pointer stick, but near the expansion of the treatment vessels here, you can see a footprint kind of the down below the circle. Can you press the button again, April? So right below that red circle, you'll see some open boxes, I guess, from a picture. That's our treatment plant. You'll see at the down to the left of it, there's some open space. That has been built there so that they can expand that treatment capability if in the future we need to expand treatment facility due to increases in demand or as the community grows. And so what we decided to do is move the battery box over to the other side of the powerhouse, which gave us a lot of benefit in both reducing costs of the project, but also putting the battery near the powerhouse so that we wouldn't have to trench and it could take up that space, which currently now is just rocks. But when we look at the battery, the details we have here are a little bit different than how they've panned out based off on the final pro forma than I have received. So you might wanna take note here. Initially, we said the battery storage would be 2,088 kilowatt hours. It's actually 2,285 kilowatt hours. So we have a solar offset of 42% existing. When we actually look at our solar's current system, our system is sized 432% of demand of the Rio Vista treatment, so that we have surplus energy that we can utilize in this battery. The annual best demand, we have 4,338 kilowatts. On our battery backup, it can be up to 24 hours, but really what happens is depending on the demand of the facility, it'll draw out, the battery will discharge and power the facility, but depending on what the peak demand is and how much of that demand is over the life of the battery or the juice that's stored in the battery, it may last from 2 hours at peak power to more than that if power's at 50% or less. So it ranges and it depends throughout the day. It's a very complex analysis. So the savings term is 15 years on the battery, and that's pretty much the warranty and life cycle, useful life of these types of batteries. Next slide, please. So in terms of operations and maintenance, one of the things that we have done in the structuring of this agreement, because this agreement is eligible for Inflation Reduction Act tax credits, investment tax credits, which is a new thing that public agencies are eligible for, we were able to structure this deal that incorporated the services agreement into the estimated project cost so that it was too eligible for the ITC. So this means that not only are we getting the ITC on the cost of the battery itself, but by lumping the services agreement and combining those, we're getting a tax credit on the summation of both, on accumulation of both of those costs. We also get service for 15 years. So that's a great thing that comes along with the battery. And that includes a number of activities that I have incorporated and documented here in this slide. STEM, US Operations, will be the service energy service provider servicing the battery. And again, it's 15-year useful life agreement. They'll conduct a number of tests, as I mentioned here, all the way from connectivity and firmware updates and monitoring, administration and manufacturer warranties, user interface, records, reports, fault response times, energy services, procedures for following emergency procedures, and services operations, optimization services, and microgrid management. Quite a bit of service this system will allow us to do. And the system has a resiliency component to it. You may wonder, what's the difference between a battery with resiliency and a battery without resiliency? This is something I recently learned. A battery without resiliency is a battery that is charged, but it's controlled by energy coming from the grid. So if the grid goes down, the battery may be full, but the juice inside of it can't be accessed or can't be utilized during that outage. The resiliency feature means it's now connected to the battery and it can operate and power and use the EMS system, the energy management system, during an outage. So it's isolated from the grid and it's independent of the grid and therefore can operate the facility when the system's offline or when the grid's offline. Next slide, please. Okay, so turning to our financial overview, the estimated project cost is about $2.6 million. The exact numbers are on the slide. Utility upgrades, those that may need to be made on our side of our utility infrastructure, we've budgeted about $100,000 for that. Agency review costs based on feedback from our engineers is about $75,000. And then our consultant fees, which we have already engaged in, a component of that is about $220,000 for the SGIP administration, the contract negotiation, the RFP process, and then also construction management support. So the total project cost, or what I may also call the total project cost is $2.95 million. Then we go into the SGIP incentives. The SGIP incentives are distributed over 5 years. And that's about a little over $1 million in SGIP incentives. And the Inflation Reduction Act investment tax credits are 30% of the estimated project cost and the utility upgrades. So that's about $642,860, which brings the total project cost down to about $1.2 million over the that's capital outlay after the fifth year. However, I've got some good news today. I put operating expenses at $429,000. Those are actually $30,000. So that number should be updated. Then we get our recurring benefits at $2.757 million. That's through demand reduction and rate arbitrage. What's rate arbitrage? Well, that's essentially when power prices are low, we fill the battery. And when they're high, we discharge the battery. So our battery allows us to work with time of use pricing throughout the day, and the system can be programmed to automate that. So with that, the updated Proforma notes, I put on here that the DRAM was $144,000. That number stays the same, but here it says the total project Proforma is $1.19 million. But because of the operating costs, were double counted here, it's really gonna come out, the new performer comes out to $1.59 million or $1.6 million. So that actually goes up by about $400,000 in the project performer. Next slide, please. So what are our next steps? Our next steps are to finalize the contract terms. In August, September, we're expecting our deposit refund back from the gas company. That's the firm we had to work with. The Southern California Edison SGIP program was already completely reserved when our project came in, but we found funding available with the gas company. So we're getting the refund in August. In the fall of 2023, we plan to, based off of the outcome and should the board approve this recommendation and adopt the resolution, we would launch construction. We got 12 months construction estimate. In the fall of 2024, that should be completed. In winter 2024, 2025, right around that time, we're looking at battery and EMS configurations, the energy management system configurations. And in the spring 2025, or shortly thereafter, we would launch system operation. Next slide, please. So with that, that concludes my presentation, and I will in 5.2 make another presentation regarding the staff recommendation to authorize the general manager to execute this contract as stated on the slide in the staff recommendation. And with that, I'll be happy to listen in for public comments and board feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, for your presentation. Thank you to the members of your team for all the work they've done in support of the battery project. Before we take public comment, I would ask the board to allow the public to complete their comments before asking questions of staff, and neither staff nor the board will be responding to questions during public comment. The board will have an opportunity to ask questions and address the staff after public comments have concluded. I do have two public comments that were received by email, which I will read before any other additional public comments are made. So let me go ahead and read those two public comments. And by the way, these were sent in and applied to both items 5.1 and 5.2. So please keep that in mind when we get to 5.2. These two public comments apply to both of those items. The first public comment I received was from the SCOPE organization. And it begins with This email will register our support for the battery backup system described in the agenda packet as the proposed 500 kW battery system located at Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant will enable the agency to reduce peak energy demand on Southern California Edison by storing power generated by its solar facilities during off-peak periods and discharging for use during peak hours. Further, the battery system enhances the operational resiliency and greenhouse gas emission reductions by utilizing the stored energy during power outages, including public safety power shutoff events, rather than operating its backup gas generators. We applaud the agency for finding innovative ways to ensure a transition to clean energy and reduce greenhouse gases. We urge you to approve this item. On behalf of the Santa Clarita Organization for Planning and Environment, parentheses scope. The second public comment that we received by email came from Chair Gilmore. I think you've heard from Ms. Gilmore before. Her comment is as follows. Water Board members, I'm writing on behalf of Citizens Climate Lobby, Santa Clarita Chapter, in support of items 5.1 and 5.2 on tonight's Water Board agenda. The items are described this way in the agenda packet. The proposed 500 kW battery system located at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant will enable the agency to reduce peak energy demand on Southern California Edison by storing power generated by a solar facility during off-peak periods and discharging for use during peak hours. Further, the battery system enhances the operational resiliency and greenhouse gas emission reductions by utilizing the stored energy during power outages, including public safety power shutoff events, rather than operating its backed up gas generator. The Water Board is to be commended for finding new ways to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions that are devastating our climate systems. And our chapter is completely in favor of approving this proposal. Thank you, Chair Gilmore, Group Leader, Citizens Climate Lobby, Santa Clarita Chapter. That concludes the public comment that was sent in by email. Madam Secretary, do we have any further public comment?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. Thank you then to the public. And it now appears that members of the public who wished to make public comment on this item has had the opportunity to do so. I am now going to ask the board if they have any comments or questions for staff. Director Cooper.
Matt, could you explain to me the difference in the operating expenses from what you had originally proposed and what it is now? It's a tenfold difference in there. That's a...
Director Cooper, thank you very much. Yeah, we received an updated pro forma that states that the energy services, my vision's not as good as it used to be, is 30,000 as opposed to 440,000. I'll ask David DeCompany to provide a little more explanation as to how the 440 was incorporated in the performa and how it's transitioned to the 30.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Good evening. My understanding is that the $400,000 amount included the energy services agreement, the kind of operating and maintenance agreement with STEM. As Matt addressed in the presentation, that's actually being capitalized at the front end of the project to take advantage of the investment tax credit. So it moved out of the operating expense budget and into the capital expense budget, representative in that initial project cost. So your operating expense profile went down to marginal costs expected for insurance and things of that nature. So
thank you.
Sure.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Like to follow up on that question. So the operating cost is guaranteed for 15 years, no inflation, no other stuff that can happen.
Okay. Director Gutzeit, that's correct. It's capitalized into the estimated, or it's capitalized into the project cost. So it's paid for up front. There's no additional costs other than corrective maintenance that might be required on the agency that's outside the scope of the services.
Okay. And contractually, they can't come back and say, gee, inflation, labor costs, et cetera. They can't do that.
That's correct. That's one of the we've been working diligently with our legal team, BB&K, to make sure that this both contracts were negotiated to the agency's optimal interests.
Okay. And just, I want to understand the calculation. Looks like, I mean, ballpark with the change cost to us is 1.3 million pro forma, 1.5 million over 15 years. That means in 13 years, we make our money back. Is that correct?
That, well, what happens is we start making money back in year one. And once we start utilizing the system over the life of the system, when you compare all the benefits to those costs, it's a net benefit of 1.5 million. I believe the payback period is around year eight.
Okay.
So that's when it becomes a positive cash performer. So you're in, and then you start making money, and then year eight, you're positive. And then from eight to seven, it's all positive cash flow.
Okay. And so we, the ROI is essentially at year eight.
Nine. 8 years. Yeah. The SPP. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Last question. So I understand the benefit in an outage, obviously, and I understand the sustainability versus non-sustainability battery issue, because you have to have a grid disconnect so you don't zap anybody on the other side. How often will this be utilized? Is it utilized only for outages, or is it continually utilized like every day, filled up, and then at night we'll run on battery for a while?
I'm going to say that from a high level, yes, that system is constantly working with the nature of the market as well as the nature of our demands. But maybe in a more specific answer, David can provide more elaboration.
Okay.
Excellent question. There's three primary daily use cases for the battery, all targeting reducing your energy costs. So first, that battery is going to reduce peak demand from your facility on Edison's grid. So as the facility here at Rio Vista uses more power, the battery's control systems will anticipate that. As it sees that your loads are increasing, the battery will discharge to reduce that load. Those demand charges can be pretty expensive. The battery is able to develop significant economic value through that. The 15-year conservative expectations is that particular demand reduction profile is going to harvest $1.3 million of bill savings over the 15-year period. The second daily operating profile is going to be around energy arbitrage, as Matt alluded to earlier in the presentation. Because you have time-based pricing variability, pricing is cheaper or it's more expensive at certain times of the day, and you have on-site generation resources, the solar facilities here, the battery is able to take price signals to know what the value of the solar is, to see what the grid electricity prices are, charge where the power is cheapest, and then use that power here on site when energy is the most expensive. And then lastly, there are opportunities for this battery to provide grid services through at least one program known as the Demand Response Auction Mechanism Program, the DRAM program. This is an example of emerging opportunities for technologies like this to participate directly in the wholesale markets. The revenue streams off of these are relatively nominal when compared with the demand charge management profile. Again, 15 years, 1.3 million out of that. The grid services programs, we're only projecting some $140,000 of value over the life of the project. So it's a very modest revenue stream that we expect for the project to earn, but that's a base case. As California's grid continues to be strained by the rapid onboarding of new loads and for our aging infrastructure to catch up to that, opportunities for batteries like this are gonna increase and values will be higher in the future. But again, to model conservatively, this is only based off of what programs are available today. So again, to summarize, the demand charge management, 1.3 million in benefit over the 15-year life cycle, that energy arbitrage price signal responsiveness, 2.5 million in benefits over the 15-year period, DRAM grid services program, $144,000.
So, and you didn't even mention that we would have power if there's a power outage.
That's right. So the economic value of having backup power from the battery isn't included in these financial projections. Of course, there's a material benefit to having uptime provided in addition to the on-site backup generation resources. But for the sake of these financial models, we didn't include any kind of economic value of resilience.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
(Clears throat)
Before Director Bronstein makes her public comment, Madam Secretary, please remind me or let me know if Director Marks raises his hand. There's no way for me to see that. So, but Director Bronstein has a comment.
I love this. So, like, just putting that, but I want to piggyback on what Director Gutzeit asked. So if we're using this also for backup for emergencies, how does that play off if we're discharging and loading all the time? Do we keep like a reserve, like we don't let it drop below a certain amount or something?
That's a great question. And I believe that the energy management system can be programmed to put in these preferences, and then it's also slightly oversized for some of those purposes. But again, I'll defer to David here to answer those questions in more detail.
So there's two types of outages, planned and unplanned. Many of the outages that your facility experiences are planned, of course, this being a critical infrastructure operation. If Edison's expecting any kind of power interruptions in the site, they will provide advance notice wherever possible. The example of that being these public safety power shutoff events, you receive some form of an alert with some time to respond. Of course, if the agency and its battery operator stem is receiving that signal, the battery can then be diverted to improve its state of charge as fast as possible to hopefully top off to have complete full state of charge going into a planned outage. And that's how it provides backup power in those circumstances. For unplanned outages, the battery will always be maintained at a certain state of charge. Base case operations are typically at least a 20% state of charge just for blue sky operations of batteries. That has to do generally with the chemistry and how it likes to behave. There will be some trade-offs if the agency wants to harvest more value from a backup power perspective and wants to maintain a higher water level for state of charge. The trade-off will be, of course, the ability for the battery to participate monetarily. I don't know what the state of charge baseline assumptions were for this pro forma, but I can certainly get that information.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. So a few questions based on the slides and the information you presented, Mr. Diggins. So the Earl Schmidt, we weren't able to do anything with Earl Schmidt. Is it because of lack of space? Was that the primary concern?
The primary concern, Director Armitage, it's a great question for the Earl Schmidt filtration plant regarding its technically a non-viable determination. There's space available there, but it's quite sloped coming down. The slopes grade seemed to be something that a lot of the vendors that showed up on the sidewalk thought were kind of a overwhelming to operate around in the sizable system that we were looking at. And then if you look at just the battery there without the solar, there are battery options, but the pro forma conducted for the battery by itself without solar was not a positive cash flow. So ergo it wouldn't be available and eligible for the 4217 process without having that determination.
Okay, thank you. And then for those of us who don't live in the energy world, one of the slides referenced annual best demand. Should I just Google it or can you tell me in a second?
I'll let David respond to the annual best demand.
So BESS, B-E-S-S, is the battery energy storage system. So it's unfortunately industry alphabet soup kind of acronym. So apologies for that not being explained. The value of what that's referencing, I don't know if the slide's available, but I can't recall what exactly was referring to. But annual best demand, I'm assuming, is the amount of demand that we expect to reduce from the facility. But I'd have to see the presentation to confirm.
Let me pop back up for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe it's on the slide of the picture.
Oh boy.
Picture of realistic.
You know what? Actually, let me share my screen so that the public can see this as well.
Sure. I can copy the presentation.
And then April, if you could keep the slides up because I have another question about another slide after this one.
Sure. Which one do you want me to go to?
Keep going. That one.
So yeah, the presentation references an annual best demand of 4,338 kilowatts. I'm just looking to see if that corresponds to the amount of demand we expect to reduce on an annual basis. That's a low number. Matt, you don't know what value that's referring to, do you?
That came from, I think, the initial performa. And so that is the peak demand availability based off the curve.
So that might, if Matt's comments are, if I understand Matt's comments correctly, that might be the amount of annual peak load that your Edison meter sees here. So it's the amount of opportunity that the battery has to generate some economic value from a demand charge management perspective. But I'd have to, I need to dig into that number to better clarify.
Okay, thanks. And then I think the next slide was all the costs broken down. And there was reference to an agency review cost. So I was wondering what that means.
Sorry, which line?
Agency review for 75,000.
Agency review.
That would be us reviewing plans here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that would be the agency reviewing plans and other types of documents that come in from the vendor supplier.
Okay, thanks. Just a couple more. The energy services agreement and the attachment to, I think this is the first time we're seeing this. So my question is who's reviewed this? Has legal counsel looked at these documents and reviewed them?
That's correct. We received this after a long negotiation between our legal counsel, BBK, and the legal counsel from the STEM and Pacifico folks, as well as input from Terra Verde and staff. So they have been reviewed and cleared for dissemination. There's one minor correction that needs to be updated that Terra Verde Energy folks found in one of the attachments. But other than that, it's been cleared by legal counsel.
Okay. And then last question is, how many other water agencies are you aware of that are starting to implement this type of system?
Tough to give you a hard number, but Terra Verde alone represents dozens of agencies who have deployed, or actually I should say captured, this particular funding that is then sort of supporting the deployment of many of these projects. So I would say dozens of agencies, and we can certainly provide references to the board if that would be helpful.
Director Conley.
Thank you. So a comment first that I made by email earlier. My primary disappointment is that we're not able to take advantage of more potential sites and that sort of thing. Certainly something that pays us $1.5 million in net profit. And I use that term only, not technically, but in a general sense. Obviously is a good thing. It would be difficult to imagine anybody not supporting it. I'm hoping, this is another comment, that we will continue to be watching for opportunities. If Rio Vista can be explored further, that would certainly be a positive thing. I'm thinking of the old Newhall site, the Newhall admin building that already has solar on it. You know, that's something that one wonders if couldn't be could benefit from a battery such as this, or maybe a little smaller. Burn down the building. Anyway, so question, how will this project in a shut, and where we don't have utility power, how will this project be able to coordinate with other existing backup systems that we have? So we have generators on site.
So the energy management system, which will be connected to the battery system, powered by the battery system in the resiliency stage, assuming that there's an outage, meaning that we are now an island per se, we are able to, in the energy management system, prioritize the battery based off of continuation of operations until it gets to a certain point, which the operators deem that we need to kick on a backup generator. So the system allows for that kind of automation based off of its performance and based off its status.
Right. Terrific. So obviously, if we're out of utility power for some number of days, we would be able to, assuming the sun shines each day, we'd be able to cycle through the battery and use our backup generation, which is fossil fuel powered.
It can reduce less. Absolutely, Director Colley, it would reduce that operation hours and continuation of the backup gas generators.
Yeah, somebody from the CARB ought to be thanking us for our helping in that way. Another thing that just wasn't mentioned that I just think is worth mentioning is that at the end of 15 years, nobody's going to come and cart this thing off necessarily. There will still be some infrastructure and potential value in the residual stuff that's left. We can certainly anticipate over that 15 years, something longer than 15 years and profiting. Again, not technically, not using that. I'm not sure what, performa gain. So we certainly will have something greater than that, likely. So great project. Keep doing more. Thanks, Director Colley.
Director Bronstein.
I just had a, do we currently, if we have a power outage, do we have access to our solar? Or is that shut down? And now that we'll have the battery, we'll be able to access the solar. That's how it works in my house. So I'm assuming that it works the same.
So currently the solar is not configured to provide backup power. And due to how it's interconnected to the distribution system here with Edison and how this battery is going to be electrically configured, those two resources will not be connected. So your solar will not be able to operate in backup power mode in service of this battery. So it will just be the battery and the on-site alternative generation, the gas generators. And that has to do with the medium voltage interconnection between the solar facility and Edison.
So there won't be a way to recharge the battery?
Without the use of the backup generation sources, the diesel generators.
So we'll be able to back it up with the generator. We'll be able to charge the battery with the fossil fuel. Generators.
That's right. So your options will be
solar.
So your options will be you could charge the battery with the solar during blue sky operations in anticipation of an expected outage, right? So for a planned outage, the battery in theory could be charged by the solar. But technically the battery and the solar facilities will not be operating on any kind of shared infrastructure during a power outage.
So like earthquake, emergency, fire kind of thing, we're cut off from our solar.
That's right. Yeah. Based on the technology and the rules for solar facilities, they're designed to recognize the loss of the voltage from the grid. And so as soon as that's lost, the solar powers down.
Okay. Well, in homes and closed circuits, that's why you have a battery, because it shifts and then you can still use your solar. So I'm wondering why.
The costs to interconnect this battery with the solar facility would be prohibitive.
Can we get more solar?
I saw the islanding on the contract, so I was assuming that, but I guess it's with the backup generators in that case. It's the size of the solar is pretty massive. It's 1,000 homes worth of solar energy, so it's at peak power production. It's quite sizable.
Can we put solar on our roof here?
We can certainly.
I mean,
conduct an assessment and get back to you.
I mean, just because we brought it up, I'm just thinking like it's silly to not have the ability to, like, if there's an emergency, right? It would be silly for us not to have the ability to have access to free energy. Like,
you want to go or drop?
It's a good point.
I was just going to agree that it's worth assessing. If you can't do the intertie with the existing system, just as a side note, I had a little tiny phone charger thing that recharged my whole phone in 2 hours. So the size that we might need to recharge the battery might be much smaller. It might be cost effective. I think it's worth looking at.
Okay.
As a separate project.
Great. Dr. Colley.
Yeah, my comments, my thought, I assumed, or I thought I got an affirmative response that we would be able to cycle power from our existing solar. It seems incredible to me that a system such as this can't duplicate what a Tesla Powerwall that people have installed at their house and their garage wouldn't be able to do. So I would hope that we would look really hard at why we can't, and if we really can't, or if it really is that expensive, a Powerwall. I mean, that technology exists. You know, any one of us can buy it for our garage. And
he said it's the size of the solar, which is what I referred to when I said people get zapped. There's this interconnect so that the utilities are safe, and that's probably what prohibits us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes down to how the solar facility is physically integrated with the electrical infrastructure on site. So for this battery to provide backup power, it has to have access physically to the circuits where those loads are and where the generation sources are. So in the event of a power outage, there's got to be kind of shared connection between those devices to connect this battery to the same infrastructure where your solar facility is interconnected. It would be cost prohibitive to provide you with backup power. So that's the kind of fatal flaw to be able to connect this battery. It's not that the technology can't do it. It just has to do with the costs associated for this particular application.
I mean, the cost, I would think, might be related to trenching some additional conduit down to this. I think
it's more extensive than that. It probably includes materially changing the switchgear and the kind of point of interconnection, both with Edison and the solar facility. So again, I could ask my colleagues to provide more detailed comments, but it was one of my questions early on in the project.
I'd really like to have that explored way more extensively than we've gotten into it here, because a Powerwall, you know, these technologies exist for a homeowner. I would expect this expensive a system to provide something close to the capabilities of a consumer product like that. So yeah, I'd like to make sure that gets looked at much more carefully.
Sure.
Any other comments from the board? So I think this Director Colley and Director Bronstein's comments can be looked at as an add-on separate from the item that's on the agenda for consideration tonight. So, and thank you very much for your presentation. Thanks for all your hard work. It appears to be a win-win for everyone, for the agency and for the environment. We do have time built into the hearing tonight for if staff needed more time to respond to a public comment or any of the comments from the board. My sense is that the two public comments that came in were of a positive nature that don't need a response. If you can confirm to me that the board is, with the exception of Director Colley and Director Bronstein's questions, which can be provided a response at a future date, all the responses satisfied your needs. So with that, we can dispense of the recess we were going to take to allow staff to prepare. And I will now close the public hearing and move on to item 5.2
President
for
Mark.
Consideration.
I think maybe Director Marks
might want to say
something. Well, yeah. No, okay. No, he does not. Okay. Never
yes,
mind.
Director Marks, by all means.
I don't think he has anything. Okay.
No comment. Okay. Are we free now to close the public hearing?
We are free now to close the public
hearing. Okay, let's start this over again. I will now close the public hearing and move to item 5.2 for consideration of approving a resolution adopting the resolution pertinent to the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Battery Storage Project. We will move on to item 5.2, adopt a resolution making a required findings, authorizing and approving the general manager to execute the energy services agreement with Pacifico Power LLC, as well as the services order with STEM Operations Incorporated for battery construction and operation maintenance support at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant. A presenter tonight is Mr. Dickens once again.
Thank you, President Martin and members of the committee. Attached to this item is a staff board memorandum staff report that I prepared. If you could conclude the updates of which I provided during the public hearing and the financial operations, those again improve the total project performa as based and assessed by Terra Verde Energy, and with the review from our legal team and the conclusion of the ESA and the energy services agreement, we recommend that the committee authorize the general manager and to execute the resolution, which is also attached in this packet, as stated in the resolution. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Thank you, Matt. Please recall board and staff and members of the public present. We did receive two public comments that were read at item 5.1 that also applied to 5.2. They were both supportive of nature. Do we have any other public comment before we open up to board discussion?
We do not.
Very good. Then I would entertain a motion for approving item 5.2.
I'll make the motion, but I just want to say before that I was reserving my general comments for 5.2 because I thought we were just asking questions in 5.1. So I'll just say that I think it's exciting. This helps the agency meet its goals in the sustainability plan we just voted on to pass. But I also kind of want to remind everybody of the bigger picture that we are just one of many agencies that are collectively trying to work together, public agencies trying to collectively work together to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions in our region, in our state, in our country. So I think all of us kind of working in the same direction and doing these types of projects are really important. And I'm proud to be part of this effort at the agency. So thank you. So I'll make a motion to, do I have to say the whole thing? To authorize and approve the general manager to execute the agreement and the services order.
Very good. Director Bronstein.
I was going to second it.
Director Bronstein.
It's easier to second than to read it up.
Seconds the motion. Unless there's further discussion from the board, I'm looking left, looking right, seeing none. Director Marks, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point? Very good. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Vice President Kutsai.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass, and that's resolution number SCV-378.
Very good. Thank you, board. Thank you, Mr. Dickens. Thank you, staff. We can move on to item 6, consent calendar. There are three items on the consent calendar tonight. Before we ask for a motion, or we have any public comment on consent calendar, I have nothing in writing.
We do not.
Very good. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. So moved by Director Cooper.
Second, Gutzeit.
Second by Vice President Gutzeit. Any further questions or discussion from the board? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
I'm abstaining from 6.1, but yes on everything else.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution number SCV-379.
Very good. Thank you. Move on to item 7. Item 7 was pulled from the agenda and will not be discussed at tonight's meeting. Moving on to item 8. Item 8, fleet and warehouse update, was pulled and will be presented at a future meeting. So that gets us rather quickly to item 9, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay, thank you very much. Somewhat of a light update tonight, but we have an anticipated fairly robust closed session, so I'm trying to keep everybody fresh. I will point out one, kind of looking back at my calendar the last couple of weeks, one I did want to report on is, you know, we had hoped and finally have implemented an intern program this year. We're very happy to have our first three interns on board, and started a new tradition, which is a breakfast with the general manager and the assistant general manager, which really added value to the breakfast, I can tell you.
That's debatable.
We had that last week with Nate, Thomas, and Tony. I'll just use their first names. Nate and Thomas are high school students at Van Nuys in the automotive program, and they're interning with our fleet manager, who has reportedly done a great job of showing them more than just auto repair things, things that you have to do in the working world, like inventory and Caltrans inspections and things like that. So that was exciting to hear. Nate's aspirations after completing high school is to go into the Air Force with hopes of becoming a jet mechanic. So I told him we might have an inside track for a recommendation letter. Thomas is hoping to be a mechanical engineering major, and then our other intern is from Cal State Northridge, Tony. He's working with our building and grounds department, and Roland started in building and grounds at Cal State Northridge as an intern, so there is a full circle moment there, and he's also doing a great job of and we kind of let them know, you know, if there's anything else you're curious about while you're here, just kind of get the word around, and we'll try to make sure you get a chance to at least get exposed to it or talk to people about it, you know, beyond just the area that you're in. He is also a mechanical engineering major. So I just remember when I was a civil engineer, the mechanical engineering school was smaller and they had the smarter people, I'll be honest. So, and the chemical engineering people were they were off the charts. So I just wanted to report that really, and I, as a former intern myself also, it really was a pleasure. We hope to, you know, continue that and fill that out more. And I think that what we'll see is our staff, while it is a little more work, you get a lot out of it as well, being the mentor, and it makes you think differently about what you do. So I really just wanted to emphasize that we're continuing to work on kind of the building blocks of our strategic plan process, which you'll hear lots about at the September workshop that we're gonna have with the board. And Ed Means has been hard at work. I think everybody hopefully by now has gotten their scheduled one-on-one time with him, and he's worked with the management team as well as groups of staff, so he has a lot of raw material ready to share. We also recently completed our employee survey, which is going to, some of that's going to feed into that process, and we have programmed part of the time on the evening portion of our workshop to kind of go over that with the board, so you all get to see that. And some good stuff in there also, which is why you do surveys, kind of pointing to areas that we can do better at and even, you know, continue to improve. And so pretty pleased that it gives us sort of a few areas to really focus on. And we've already started some discussions as a management team on that. We'll be also sharing those results at our upcoming all staff meeting. So if anybody's watching at home, you will get to hear that too. And I think that's it. I'll leave the update there. Thank you.
President Martin, please turn on your microphone.
Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment online?
We do not.
I have no public comment card, so we'll go to board questions and discussion. Are there any questions or discussion from board? Seeing none, we can move on to... Oh, you turned the deed. You became invisible. All right. Go ahead, Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm so excited about hearing about the intern program. I know they did a social media post on it, which I was super excited to see on there too. And you know, I think in the future, as a board member would love to see if there's any opportunity at which we could discuss, you know, building on that going forward. I think, like you said, there's a lot of value in many different ways to that. So thank you for that update, and hopefully we can build on it. I am a little jealous that they got a 2-for-1 breakfast with Assistant General Manager Cole as well. I will say that. But no, I think that's wonderful that you welcomed them with that. So thank you. And then thank you also for giving us the update about the employee survey. That was something I think we talked about during one of our meetings. And, you know, I think it's healthy for an organization to kind of take that brave step to open up them, you know, have management open up to getting that type of feedback. And of course, it's good to hear the good, but it's also good to hear the maybe not so good for areas of opportunity for growth. So kudos to you all for doing that. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Any other questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we can move on now to item 10, committee meeting recap report for informational purposes only. There was only one report that was included in your packet. Are there any public comments on the one report that's in the packet and the agenda?
There is not.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we can move on to item 11, president's report. I have some updates for the board tonight. Outside of the agency conferences and events, the 30th Annual Urban Water Institute Conference is being held in San Diego, August 23 to 25, 2023. The 2023 Economic Outlook on September 15th, 2023. The program will start at 8 a.m. at College of the Canyons Performing Arts Center. The State of the City will be on October 26th at the Canyon Country Community Center at 3 p.m. The Valley Industry Association, quote unquote, the Bash Fire and Ice Ball will be on November 3, 2023 at 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency. Upcoming regular board meetings start time at 6 o'clock. Two here at the Rio Vista Boardroom at September 5 and September 19. Upcoming special board meetings, there will be a special board meeting for strategic planning workshop part one, September 7, 2023. Piccola Osteria, start time at 5 p.m. And also a special board meeting strategic planning workshop part two, September 8, 2023 at Embassy Suites, start time at 7:30 a.m. for breakfast and meeting call to order at 8 a.m. The upcoming committee meetings at Summit Circle and the EWS Boardroom at 5:30 p.m., the August 17th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee, the September 6th Rescheduled Engineering and Operation Committee meeting, the September 13th Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting. Upcoming committee meetings right here in the Rio Vista Water Treatment Boardroom at 5:30 will be the August 21st Finance and Administration Committee meeting. Are there any public comment on the president's report?
There is not.
Any questions from the board or directors? Thank you. That completes item 11. We can move on to item 12, AB 1234 reports. There was one report that was included in your packet. Does anyone have any AB 1234 reports? And we will cover the Mr. Director Cooper's report on the ad hoc as a separate item, but yes, Director Armitage.
Thank you. I attended the virtual meeting of the Special Districts Association of North LA County Executive Committee on August 9th, where we continued planning for the next general membership meeting that will take place on October 12th at 11:30 at the Antelope Valley East Kern Water Agency. And the topic of that meeting will be communication. And the speaker will be the president of CAPIO, which is what, California Association of Public Information Officers. Okay, I got a thumbs up from Kevin. Thank you. So if you have not received an invitation, please let me know. I can make sure I can get that for you if you'd like to attend. And then we are hoping for the one following to have Supervisor Catherine Barger come and be the keynote speaker for that one. So, and then we talked a little bit about our continued building of a simple strategic plan for the executive committee. And that's it. Thank you.
Director Peterson.
Yes, on August 11th, I had a meeting with Ed Means, the strategic plan SWAT meeting, as it's called. We did that by phone.
Okay, very good. I think I went a little out of order on our agenda. So I did. We did have a 12.2 item for Director Cooper to report out on the Jerry Gladbeck ad hoc committee. So go ahead, Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. And just as a 1234 report, the ad hoc committee met yesterday, and the ad hoc committee looking at renaming or putting a name for some recognition for Jerry Gladbeck on one of our facilities met yesterday. The committee is made up of myself, President Martin, Director Armitage, and Director Colley. We had a very good meeting yesterday, and we met along with Matt Stone and Steve Cole. You know, Jerry was really big in the water industry. None of us really saw all the things that Jerry really did, but everything from LA County LAFCO to State LAFCO, President of State LAFCO, President of the AQUA JPIA Insurance Organization, President of AQUA, on the National Water Resources Council in Washington, D.C., as well as serving on our board, and just a number of things that, and of course, in those instances, Jerry's also on committees from those organizations. So we never really saw all that Jerry did, but he was certainly the Energizer Bunny, and he represented this agency well for many, many years. I don't exactly know how many years Jerry had, but he probably had 27, 28 years in this agency. So we really wanted to do something significant in recognizing Jerry. You know, there's a lot of things you can name, everything from pump stations to pump plants to water treatment plants and to the gardens. And we looked at all of those, and it really came down to, and tonight I'm not looking for feedback because we can't act on it tonight, but we're going to be bringing it back to the board on September 5th. Came down to, we really thought that naming this plant in honor of Jerry Gladbeck, we haven't quite come to the name yet, whether it was going to be the Jerry Gladbeck Water Filtration Plant or the EG Jerry Gladbeck Filtration Plant, or how it was going to be. We're going to ask his wife, Donna, how would she prefer the name to be? And we looked at how signage would be, but we'll bring it back to the board with some recommendations at September 5th. And I think everybody will like what we're putting together. I think it will be quite an honor for somebody who is so big in the water industry, and very fitting for Jerry. That's all I had.
Thank you, Director Cooper. We have any public comment on his report, April?
We do not.
Any response or feedback from the board at this time, questions or comments? I want to thank Director Colley for bringing this item to the board's attention, and I'll be happy to see us move forward and name this facility after Director Gladbeck.
You know, just one other comment. When you go to, and we talked about this a little yesterday, when you go to rename facilities, there's a lot of other people that get involved too. Department of Drinking Water is one of them, is because this is licensed under a certain name. And so the health department is going to have to be involved in the county. And then you've got all of the records and plans and all of those things that will, names will change. So it's a long, long process. We're not in any big hurry, but we think over the next few months, we'll put something together, and then there'll be some kind of a dedication ceremony that'll go along with this when we put it together. So looking forward to it.
Thank you. Now we can continue with other AB 1234. Is anybody who hasn't reported on an AB 1234, Director Colley?
Yeah, I attended telephonically a meeting with Mr. Means, 26 July, for the strategic planning preparation. Thanks.
Okay, I have a number of ones to report on, and I apologize. I usually put these in writing, but until I get clearance to go up the stairs to my second floor office, I'll be doing these things orally. Hopefully that'll be soon, so I'll do it quickly. On the 7th of August, I had a one-on-one meeting with our general manager, Matt Stone. Matt Stone via Teams program. Excellent meeting, I thought. On August 8th, I had my monthly meeting with the DCA Executive Director Graham Bradner, where we discuss a wide range of issues that in that format are useful. That was via Zoom, remote. On the 11th, I attended the Delta Conveyance Authority Board briefing via Zoom. And on the 14th, I also attended the Ad Hoc Committee on renaming the facility after Jerry Gladbach. So I believe that completes the AB 1234s, unless there are others. And if there are no public comments, we can move on.
There is not.
Very good. Well, we are to item 13, closed session. We will be now going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to the Zoom and are in closed session, please disconnect from Zoom. We will meet in closed session to discuss item 13.1, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, paragraph 1, subdivision D of section 54956.9, Santa Clara Valley Water Agency versus 3M Company et al., case number 2:20-CV-3771-RMG. And members of the public and staff may stay on the current line. Once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to Zoom for closed session announcements and to continue the meeting. We will take a brief, I'd say five to 10 minute break and get set up for a closed session. We are in recess. We are now back in open session and we can move to item 14, closed session announcements. Mr. Byrne.
The board did not take any action in closed session.
Thank you. With that, we can go to item 15, director requests for future agenda items. Are there any requests for future agenda items tonight? Seeing none, there's no public comment necessary. That brings us to adjournment. And tonight, we would like to adjourn in the memory of the ones that were tragically lost in the Maui fires this year. It was a terrible tragedy, and we're adjourning in their memory. We are adjourned.